Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with Andrea Strimling Yatsapa, author of the IBM Center Report, Coordinating for Results, Lessons from a Case Study of Interagency Coordination in Afghanistan. So, Andrea, phase four of the case study focuses on spring 07 to spring 09 and emphasizes the importance of convening and joint analysis and planning. Would you tell us more about the Bagram process?
Sure. The Bagram process was cited by a number of people I interviewed as a major innovation and very significant contributor to coordinated results during this period. So a number of people who were part of this, who knew about it, were very, very excited about it as a model for coordination in the future. And what happened was that when Major General David Rodriguez assumed command of CJTF 82, shortly after doing so, he met with his civilian counterparts from the U.S. Embassy in Kabul. And they wanted to continue to strengthen civil-military coordination. They knew that that was essential to both civil and military effectiveness in Afghanistan. And so what they did was they agreed to convene a series of monthly, full-day coordination meetings that generally took place at Bagram Airfield. And how they structured this was very interesting. The meetings were jointly led by the civilian deputy chief of mission, the USAID mission director, and the deputy commanding general of support of CJTF 82. So this was really joint in its leadership in addition to the convening. And they'd begin in plenary with everybody present, and that enabled people to provide updates, share information in a plenary context. And then they would break out into smaller working groups that were technical working groups to share more detailed or more nuanced information and to engage in joint analysis and problem solving for specific technical areas such as infrastructure, education, water, energy. And these breakout groups were often loosely or informally facilitated by civilian technical experts. So there was a facilitation role during these breakout sessions. And then at the end of the day, everybody would get back together to, again, in plenary, share what had been learned and provide any necessary updates from the working group sessions.
So how did this process lead to concrete coordinated results? What are the benefits?
Well, I think there were two distinct types of benefits that, again, we saw in earlier joint analysis and planning processes and other phases as well. The first were the tangible coordinated results. Participants were able to very quickly uncover situations in which they were working at cross purposes or wasting resources, duplicating efforts. And just to give you one example, during one of these sessions, participants discovered that USAID was in the process of building a road that was actually going directly through an airstrip that was being paved with the military's funding. So this is one very concrete and visible example, but there were many, many cases like this. And by getting together monthly in this structured process, both in plenary and in these working groups, they were quickly able to discover when they were working at cross purposes or when their plans would lead them to be working at cross purposes and step in quickly to avoid that. So that was very significant. Examples fall into the category of avoiding problems, avoiding coordination failures. But there were numerous examples of them also being able to say, I'm working on this part of road construction. You're working on this other part of road construction. Let's align our efforts to really leverage complementarity and even to achieve synergy. So they were seeing the sort of more positive examples of coordinated results also emerging from these sessions. Having said that, the benefits were absolutely not limited to that. There was a tremendous amount of learning in both directions. Civilians really learning about military goals, objectives, norms, approaches, and resources, and how they could collectively leverage those resources and those capabilities. And military, for their part, developing a much greater appreciation of civilian expertise in the development arena. And what was striking to me as I learned more about the Bagram process was the learning was not accidental or inadvertent. It was deliberate. In a number of cases, there were examples, for example, of the military leadership asking the civilians to educate them on various development principles, to educate them on development goals and priorities. So, and I think this went in both directions. So again, it was a combination of the pragmatic benefits of being able to actively coordinate, actively leverage resources to achieve shared goals, and the more subtle but equally powerful mutual learning, mutual respect that allowed them to lay the foundations for much more sustained and, I would say, higher level coordination moving forward.
Would you please describe the joint analysis and planning conducted under the auspices of ICMAG?
Yes, sure. The Integrated Civil Military Action Group, or the ICMAG, is a very important example of how joint analysis and planning can be structured and institutionalized. And I think it was very innovative. So I would like to describe to you how it emerged and also how it played out. In 2007, the military leadership at Bagram, in concert with their counterparts at the embassy, initiated this process of joint planning that resulted in the establishment of what then became called the ICMAG, or the Integrated Civil Military Action Group. And what they did was they committed to joint analysis and planning at the provincial reconstruction team level, at the tactical level. And at the provincial reconstruction teams, there were civilians co-located with their military counterparts. And as we discussed earlier, joint analysis and planning was really necessary to achieve coordinated results. So this was a structured, facilitated way to foster consistent joint analysis and planning at the PRT, at the Provincial Reconstruction Team level. And one of the keys to its success was active expert facilitation. So there were two civilians from the Office of the Coordinator for Reconstruction and Stabilization, called SCRS, which was then at the State Department, who facilitated this joint planning process at the PRTs. And it resulted in joint interagency plans at each of the provincial reconstruction teams where they did this process, where they conducted this process. So those plans were a significant step forward because we've already discussed how important having joint plans in place is for coordination. The problem was that as they presented these plans and worked with them, it became clear they simply hadn't taken it far enough because the individual provincial reconstruction team plans were not yet integrated into a comprehensive or coherent regional plan. So in 2008, the SCRS facilitation team was invited back, and this time they were tasked with facilitating a process that would lead to the development of a plan for all of Regional Command East, or RC East. And what they did was they did this kind of roll-up, roll-down process, looking all the way from the tactical level and the plans at the PRTs up to the regional plan and in between. And this allowed them to link plans horizontally across units and vertically across levels of decision-making. And it really set the stage for the ability to coordinate more effectively moving forward. And as discussed earlier, it also had the benefit of fostering mutual learning as people engaged in this professionally facilitated joint analysis and planning process. They developed, again, greater appreciation for what they were trying to achieve, for where they might have been working at cross purposes and could correct that, where they might have been wasting resources by duplicating efforts, but even more powerfully, where they could leverage their distinct resources and capabilities and insights and expertise to achieve commonly articulated goals. And this process was widely perceived to be very effective, so much so that by November 2008, the ICMAG was formally stood up as a new unit at the embassy. What had been a process called the ICMAG became a unit at the embassy. And by the spring of 2009, it had become a full-time group of co-located civilians and military at the embassy. Having said that, again, it was an example of an important innovation that had significant benefits but needed to be taken further and expanded and deepened to yield sustained coordinated results. So it wasn't that everything worked perfectly after that, but it was a very important step in the right direction.
What lessons were learned from this phase?
Well, I think one of the interesting lessons is that co-location is important. But when civilians and military are not co-located or can't be co-located, or when agency representatives can't be co-located because of distance, because of logistics, because there's simply too many of them, there is an alternative that also can work, and that is regular, consistent convening in some kind of structured process, in a process that facilitates information sharing in a structured way, in a process that allows for sector-specific or goal-specific joint analysis and planning, and with some consistency. And I think one of the very important takeaways from this process as well is the need for facilitative leadership of those processes. In other words, when nobody's in charge, and we talked about that challenge early on, when nobody's in charge to say, thou shalt get together, thou shalt coordinate, thou shalt share information, there needs to be a different approach to leadership if you can't just direct it from on high. And I call that facilitative leadership. So what we saw as being very, very effective in this phase was the civilians and military, the leaders on the ground who convened the Bagram process, who requested the ICMAC process, were exercising facilitative leadership. They were using that facilitative leadership to bring people together and to lead them through a constructive process that could get past the inherent tensions or even conflicts that could emerge and lead to mutually beneficial results. So again, I think the takeaways on the positive side from this period were regular convening of agency stakeholders combined with joint analysis and planning really does enhance coordination. But often facilitative leadership is necessary to convene the stakeholders and to guide them through a structured and constructive process to really yield the results that are desired. But once again, that those together are very important, but they're not sufficient, that you still need to attend to delegation of decision-making authority to the lowest possible level. You still need to attend to aligning professional incentives so that people are incentivized to share information, to even engage in these kind of joint analysis and planning processes. And essentially, and very, very essential, they must be held accountable for the downstream collective impacts of their decisions and their activities.
We'll explore what the future holds and highlight key lessons learned from interagency coordination in Afghanistan when the special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, returns.